one man who loves his basketball, he loves his sport. He's the self-proclaimed professor of bowling in the world of cricket, the bowlologist, Damien Fleming, part of the SEN cricket team, and a superstar golfer in his own right, joins us on the line. G'day, Flem.
Russ, Copes, how are you, boys? What were you two just talking about? I didn't understand any of it.
Basketball, mate. You've got to get out of that little single lane highway of cricket and get amongst it. Don't you know that Trent Copeland's the smartest sporting commentator in the history of world sport?
No, I know that.
He is a future Bruce McAvaney.
I can't mount an argument against that, but I can mount an argument against making some sense and getting you two back on to talking about Test match cricket.
Flame on with
Start
you, mate.
Tomorrow.
I'm out. You blokes can take over. I'll sit back and just see the watch the highlights.
You love your cricket. Don't worry about that. So what's the weather doing? Not surprised. No, Swepson. For all that chat, it's almost like it was back to the SCG of 1986 or 1996 with the build-up. I think that would have been tough in a green-looking pitch, evidently, with rain forecast. I think Mitch Swepson's going to play some test match cricket for Australia this year, subcontinent tours, but I'm pretty happy with the team that the boys have gone to. You know, Usman is such a wonderful player, debuted at the SCG against England many years ago, but averages 50. So good luck to Usman. And with the tour of Pakistan coming up, where he was born, I really hope he can play some cricket over there. And if you've got 6 for 7, lads, you'd be unlucky not to play the next test match. So great to see Big Bolo will be charging in.
Hey, Flemo, what's better, 6 for 7 on debut or a hat-trick on debut?
Give us a
Once
call.
Once again, you're talking nonsense here, Coach. I mean, 6 for in your first test is unbelievable. But yeah, I think there's been multiple occasions that bowlers have done that. But to get 3 in a row,
different gravy, those guys.
How many people have done that in their debut?
Why didn't I do it? No, well, clearly just not in the same league as the people who have been able to achieve that. Rarefied air, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. We're trying to recruit. It's still only me in the club at this stage, gentlemen. But invited Scotty, and he did well, didn't he?
Yes.
7 wickets in the match, but just couldn't get 3 in a row. Starkey got himself on a hat-trick. That was a very good hat-trick ball. But, good signs for the Australians. For England, though, I'm really trying to scratch my head to see what they can get out of this series. And really, it is... I suppose, mentally being able to take it to the fifth day. The weather may help with that. But also, just to get some positive performances from individuals to take going forward. You know, to get some 50s from the top 6 besides Root and Milan. And bowling-wise, well, you know, they've gone with the experienced and probably their best bowling lineup. So, yeah, it's not really for the future, but it will make them competitive here. But... No, big questions for the English, but I'm hoping that they can do so much better than what they put out in that second innings at the MCG.
Hey, Flemo, you're one of the best that I've seen in analysing bowling in general, bowling actions, but particularly when it comes to when you're a bowling group and potentially John Lewis is the bowling coach of the touring English team, formulate their plans. The one thing that stood out for me this summer is the lack of execution, maybe even the lack of picking the right bowlers in the first place. But Stuart Broad wrote a really fascinating article yesterday. I don't know if you've read it, but talking about being a largely wobble seam or seam-based bowler, and the two pitches that he hasn't played on have been the two pitches that he's seen the most lateral movement in his career travelling to Australia. What do you think England can do? I know they've already picked the 11 for this game, but... What is it that they've got so wrong?
Yeah, I mean, when we, debrief this series, I mean, I think that the skill standards between the two teams, there's a big gulf, particularly in the batting. Like, for England's top 6 are mediocre, let's be honest. So, some of our Australian players have been criticised to a degree, you know, Warner and Usman for having a lot better records at home than away. but at least they're dominating at home. You look at England's players, you know, and I'm taking Joe Root out of it, none of them get runs at home. So how were they expected to come over here and score runs, you know, besides probably Milan, who's got a bit of a game for Australian conditions. So they're not even dominating in their own backyard. So that's massive. But you can't control that golfing skill. What you can control are your selections, your skill set, i.e. not bowling no balls when you get wickets, and catching. So that they've got crosses, big crosses for no ball wickets and catching. But selection, how Broad didn't play that first test ahead of Lynch. And what would have happened there, boys, was when Root won the toss, he would have had to have bowled first because he didn't play a spinner. Now, if they bowled first and Broad had that first over to Warner and Harris, one is, what about the atmosphere at the Gabba, the booing for Broadie as he ran in,
Yep. But
also fear from the Australians that he's got it over our left-handers. So they got it wrong there. No Wood in Adelaide, no Broad at the G. So it's probably their best bowling lineup. So that's a tick. And batting-wise, well, you know, Root, for me, would have to get 100 and a big 100 and get a couple of 50s from the other top six. But, you know, this has been a bowler-friendly series. So they should have gone with their most experienced bowlers throughout the series. And, you know, I think the G wouldn't have mattered who they'd played. I mean, Broad would have been handy and maybe shorten that lead a little bit, but they wouldn't have scored enough runs. But him at the Gabba, I mean, I'm not sure which way that test match would have went.
Yeah, and it's a fair point you make, mate. Looking at the series generally, the selections that have baffled me is Wood bowling so well at the Gabba, then only 25 overs under his belt. He gets rested for Adelaide. You don't pick a frontline spinner at arguably the best venue in the country for spin bowling. And then you get to Melbourne and it looked like a reactionary move that, well, we need to pick Leach now. And he barely bowled. You know, if you turn up to the ground, even Australia, they win the toss and bowl first. If that's the pitch that's in front of you, it seems the pre-planned analytics that go into the selections at the moment, it left themselves wanting.
You're exactly right. I mean, in any elite sport, what you got to do is build a plan on what's happening right now. And you need to, when you've got ball in hand, you might have a plan to a batsman going into the test match, but you bowl a couple of balls to him and he's caught on the crease, so he's out of confidence. So you are going to pitch the ball up. You want to actually bring in all modes of dismissals. I think when you start to pre-plan too much, you get yourself into trouble. I just don't think they've been able to be flexible. And there hasn't been a lot of common sense. So selections have certainly hurt them. And just back to Wood, I mean, Warner, I think those first couple of 90s, he played against type, but it showed a mature Dave Warner that was happy to bat ugly because he knew conditions were tough. And I thought his application in the first two test matches were outstanding. But he comes to the Adelaide with bruised ribs. You know, the one bowler he doesn't want to face is Mark Wood.
Bang on.
Because Wood is yards, he looks yards quicker than our quicks. And he would have come around the wicket or over the wicket. He would have bombarded into Dave Warner's ribs. They would have had a man catching around the corner, probably a bat pad. And it would have been so uncomfortable for Warner. And then 2-0, not playing Wood, the series is over. So yeah, really disappointing. But for the Aussies, you know, we've found bowling depth in Richardson and Boland and Neeza. So hopefully that continues on. Really pleased with Cameron Green. I mean, his bowling has just gone another level. Interesting Cummins, giving him a newer ball. It was tougher last year. He was always bowling with the old ball and having to bowl short and re-grooving his action. I mean, he just looks a superstar with ball in hand. And probably just for his batting, I mean, it hasn't been ideal batting conditions, but really, we've only seen him once in his brief test career, you know, really accelerate. And the game dictated that at the SCG in the second innings last year where he smashed 80. I'd just like to see him, once he gets into, you know, that 30, 40 ball mark, to actually put the onus on himself that it was, it's time to dominate and it's time to take on the bowlers, because he's definitely done it at Shield level and now we just want him to take it into Test match level. And obviously we want Marcus Harris to jump on that. What was a game-defining innings in hindsight, that 76, wasn't it? The highest score of the Test match. More runs from Harris, you know, just makes... And runs from Woodsman, I think, puts Australian cricket in a pretty good stead.
Hey, give us a... Let's forecast this Test match, mate. What are we seeing in 6 days' time? Is it Australia 4-0 up? What are we seeing with the pitch at the SCG with a little more grass on it? You've obviously played a lot there over the years.
And Flem, more importantly, now that Merivale is catering, were you going to step up the chicken curry on day one at lunch in the media tent, or do you expect a little better from the Merivale crew?
Well, Russ, we're most of the seven crew are doing it from the studio in Melbourne, so we'll be dining on some Melbourne cafe
takeaway
food,
pizza.
unfortunately,
from a dodgy Melbourne joint.
Only the best for you, Flav.
Oh, okay, righto.
Maybe some lasagna, but no, we'll. It's 4-0 unless rain plays a part, I think. So you know, England may get saved, because the test doesn't run its full amount of overs. I just think... But I still hope, boys, that it's a challenge for England to come back and show some, you know, some fighting spirit, and they can start working out, you know, the players to go forward. And for Australia, I just think it's been a dominant Ashes series. You know, let's continue to go down that path. You know... Hopefully a couple of hundreds. You know, Mitchell Stark, who's, you know, yeah, it looks like those couple of the tests against India now just look like a little blimp on his career, really. And sometimes, you know, he's used the time to reflect. I've never seen him bowl with this consistency. I've seen him be more destructive in swinging conditions, but his control, his pace, his bounce, body language, wanting the ball in the hand has been... outstanding, and then trying to score off Pat Cummins in these conditions, good luck. So 4-0 unless rain plays a part, boys.
Do you bat or do you bowl if you're England, Flem? We had the discussion. In other words, do you have more faith in your bowlers to give you at least a good start, or do you throw the batsmen to the wolves again and hope that they can survive the first hour and a half and at least get you some sort of a run into day two?
Yeah, it's a tough one without seeing the pitch. I always...
Mate, it's 22 yards long, couple of sticks at either end. Come on. It's like saying,
yeah,
tough long.
Well, Paddy Cummins, hey, Flem, Paddy Cummins
was out
there.
How many millimetres of grass, Russ?
Mate, I was out there today and I had a chat to a couple of the other hard worker bees out there, and we felt that it was a good 400 runs in each innings unless the bowling is really, really good, and then it's maybe only 200.
So are you saying bat first?
I'm saying always bat first, because I was a terrible bowler, and at least I used to get to do something if I batted first. And if I was captain, I'd put myself in as opener.
If you say bat first, I'm bowling first.
Flem, I'd love to see England bowl first tomorrow. I think, personally, my experience at the venue in the last couple of years is that it doesn't break up and go underneath or spin out of the footmarks uncontrollably like the subcontinent. It's more of a, if there is grass on it, make use of early conditions that England really haven't done well all summer. And the ability to knock over Warner, Marnus and Steve Smith in particular, that opportunity may well be at its peak in the morning session tomorrow. So all I want to see from England, and I don't know if you agree, but let's see some aggression. Get on the front foot and get in front at some point early in the game.
Well, they've fought back in most test matches for a couple of sessions. I mean, you know, Anderson inspired bowling at the G. If they could have knocked over Stark and Cummins, well, they would have had a lead, and it's pretty early, and it's a different philosophy when you're adding runs as opposed to batting in the negative. So they've tried everything else. So, I it wouldn't hurt for them to bowl first. I mean, let's be honest, Copes, every test match so far... as for us as opening bowlers, we would have been happy if we bowled first in all three test matches. And for me, it'd be no different tomorrow in Sydney. If it's humid conditions, it's going to swing around, which it always does in that, you know, the first couple of sessions. So, yeah, but maybe that's their best chance of putting... I mean, let's be honest, their bowling's a lot better than their batting. So why not get your more positive skill set into the game earliest than that is if you win the toss, you bowl.
Good on you, Flem. Look forward, and I'm sure you will look forward to catching up with Copes, and I look forward to listening to your dulcets across the next 5 days of the cricket.
Thanks, boys. Just keep those basketball updates going too.
Yeah. Well, mate,
one
Flemmer.
Of the big ones, just while you're asking there, Chicago have come back and they're going to knock off Orlando, but only by a couple of points. And Orlando were 14-point outsiders in that game, Flem, so it's a bit of an upset.